Okay, Rabbi, you say we continue. We're still working on the 71st chapter. And we're now going to get into specifically the Mutalkim, right? We're right at 320. Is that correct? Or
that's correct.
On the right side?
Yep.
320.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to get to now, hopefully, the differences between the philosophical views. And we're going to do one or two footnotes, but a lot of the footnotes we're going to skip. Okay, Hadvarim Hamaatim Shechubru Biksav Ba'am Yisrael Binyone Ha'alokus. The few things that were written for the Jewish people regarding divinity, Sheuvi Midivrei Hatiologikim Hagoyim Amuchonamim Muskalmim. It draws from the non-Jewish theology that is known as from the Muskalmim. Who are these? Hamuskalmim Him Zerem Theology Notri Umuslami. The Muskalmim is a stream of ideology that's Christian and Muslim. Shedogal b'halchachas min asechav lo min metzius. They believed in following intellectual proofs and not what you see in terms of reality. The main thing is what your mind reasons. Habitu shel asechol hu adibur. What's the expression of the intellect? B'loshen Arav, in Arabic, it's called kalam. Kalam means speech. Speech manifests what your intelligence is thinking. And now he says like this, very important, moving on to the next side of the page. According to him, it's not possible to rely on the reality that you see. Why? We only absorb it through our senses. The elu and our senses muadim lahatos osanu are very likely to fool us. Just like we explained yesterday, if you're looking at an eclipse, right? You may just thinking that the moon is just covering it up, and that's the way things just happen to be at this time. We don't know a lot of other realities. That is a system that always happens. Okay, hakata rishona be Islam, the first sect, religious sect in Islam. The Mutalizas, they believed in free will. And afterwards was after them drew the Jewish thinkers, the Mizrach. I think we did this yesterday. In the east, okay, which is Rav Sajagon. And then the Asherite group, Shabitla Eschovah Shabachir, they nullified the concept of free will choice. That did not affect the Jewish wise men on the east. They stuck with free will. On the other hand, Chachmai HaYehudi B'Sfarad, but the Sephardic Jews in the western part of Europe, Lo Noto Achrei HaTheologim, they did not follow the theologists at all. Elarach Achrei HaPhilosophis HaYevonis, but after the Greek philosophers, which was more to believe in the power of science. Okay, now, Gimel. Torah
Sakha. So that would be Ashkenazic and Sephardic, sort of, because
yes.
That would be the delineation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, Torah Hakalam, Gozra es Metzias Hashem Eirayin Abriya. Very important point now. The philosophy of the Kalamists was determined that the reality of Hashem is an idea of creation. What does this mean? This is going to be one of the main fundamental differences here. Torah Hakalam Reishiso Ba'olam HaNotzri. The Kalam, which started in the Christian world, was about Lohagain Alamunosov Neked HaPhilosophia Vonish Shesosrosen. It was screaming out against the philosophers of the Greeks, which contradicted them. And with two different philosophies, as you'll see. The Kalamists, they had a view of the world that is based on what assumptions that they made towards their goals. It was taken from earlier Greek works. We should now turn to page 322, which you do not have. And now we're going to pass that. That's 322. Vehem chashvu Levatel the kachas hashkafa philosophis. They wanted to negate the philosophical scientific view. Okay. Now, ha'Islam yirash gam es hasafras philosophis. Islam also inherited the works of the philosophers. V'gam es hasifros hanoitzris. Also the Christian philosophers. So now, what are they going to do? There's two different streams of wisdom. Umatsa sipuk b'tshuva sakalam hanoitzri. And they were satisfied with the answers that the Christian Calamists had, who defied the philosophers that were against religion. Hadvar misravku b'olam ha-muslami, that spread in the Muslim world. He started ulini muzarim and devolved into very strange things, which we'll see what this is. Left side. Amnam. Hameshutaf l'chol hadatos. But what's the common denominator of all religionists? Who inyan chidush ha'olam was the concept of the creation of the world. That the world was something that came into being. As the Bible says, in the beginning God created the world. Ach anachna yudim eina zukukim l'rov ha'teologia hazos shepo seches b'natsus v'islam. But as Jews, we don't need such theology, which opens up with Christianity and Islam, because they come to very terrible conclusions. Kanatsrus nalotsa lakalas as kochosea bepituach safra shlema lehitzdadek as amunas hashivus vatipshus. Because what does Christianity spend a lot of time doing? All kinds of books on the Trinity. For Islam, and Islam wasted a lot of time developing books founded on the lack of science and the lack of free will choice for man. So now, what's the main philosophies of both groups? Trying to, reconcile the reality to their religions. They didn't understand the simple rule that was in the 4th century, Al Yedei, this is a Greek philosopher, Tamastios, whatever. Godel Mefarshir is one of the great explainers of Aristotle. Here's the rule. Reality does not follow after logic. But good logic follows reality. In other words, you see what the reality is and come to conclusions from that. You don't have ideas that reality has to fit into.
Wow.
That was the rule. You got reality. Wow. That's where you get the concepts from.
You can see where the Muslims
You don't have concepts before reality.
And the Christians had a lot of different...
B'milim acheros, in other words, ein lahatim es hamatzias l'konceptia. You don't try to... What was the word you used there, Mark?
Reconcile
the reality to conceptualization. Yesh lahatim es haconceptia l'mitzias. You have to reconcile the concepts to the reality.
Yeah.
Harambam kosuf. So Rambam writes, "Ki akav hameachegid es kol mutalkin lehem." What is the common thread that unites all these mutalim? Who she'ein lischashev emitzias alusaris? Don't worry about reality. Worry about logic. Svara. Well, pianochesh nechem, based on the premises that they had on logic, he masikeshol. They concluded logically the world has to be created. And therefore, there now is a creator. Here's the main Mutalkim idea. They say like this. Logic says the world had to be created. And if the world had to be created, now we come to a conclusion that there's a creator. But first, they say the world was created. Now, if the world is created, and that was their concept. In other words, they said, how could it be that the world always existed? That can't be. It had to have been created. Logical. If it had to be created, there has to be a creator. Step two. And once you have that, okay. Next page. And they're going to conclude that this creator is Echad, has to be one. If he's a creator, has to be one. The Achagachan, then Shenaguv, he's not corporeal. Besikum, in conclusion, Nekudas Hamotse, Lucholagos Datis, Adyimea Rambam, the main point of all religions is until the Rambam was Hoysa, Shaha'olam Nivra, the world was created, Vlokayim Meyazma, wasn't that it always existed. And this is the big machlokes between the Greek philosophers, the scientists, and the Calamists. Yeah. The Calamists said, logically, the world had to be created. Okay? And if the world had to be created,
there
had to be a creator. And if he's a creator, he has to be one, and he cannot be corporeal. While the scientists are going to say, no, let's not go with logic, let's go with science. And the science would suggest the world always existed.
So these are the philosophers.
This is the Greek scientists, Aristotelians.
Right. So like
the Greek always existed.
Yeah. Yeah. The Muslims would go along with everything.
No, the Muslims were saying God created the world. It didn't always exist. The big philosophical debate throughout.
Like we do.
No. One more time. Is either you believe God created the world or the world always existed.
Yeah.
The Calamists believe, because they had a svara to say that the world was created.
Yeah.
The world was not eternal. Therefore, there had to be a God to create. The scientists say, no, that from our observation, it would appear the world always existed. Now, yes, of course, the Rambam, who goes mainly with Aristotle, with the scientists, but he said, I can tell you that the world was created by God, but not from logic.
Yeah.
As he's going to say later on, if you're looking with logic and science, neither way is for sure. There's if you say the world was created, there's questions on it that we don't have an answer. If you say the world always exists, there's questions we don't have an answer. The scientists said, listen, based on our scientific understanding, the world always had to exist. The Calamists said, listen, we know God created the world, so therefore the world had to be created, and therefore there has to be a God. But the Rambam will say is, the truth of the matter is, if we're Rambam always says, look at the world and come to understandings from what you see. Until you come to a point that you have to give in to what the Torah says. So Rambam's saying, you know, I don't really have a proof more one way or the other. It's a doubt. But one thing I have to accept, what the Navi said, what Moshe said, what Hashem says. And Hashem says that he created the world. And that's it. Now, that, but does not necessarily have to have you come on to concepts that are against science. The problem with the Mutalkim is that they reject science. And there's certain science that should be true. As we'll see, the Mutalkim said, remember he said, that every second is a disconnected reality to the next, and it's not a flow from one to the other. And their main thing, the Mutalkim say, there's no such thing as science. God is doing everything. So they rejected science completely. And they said, God created the world, and every second, God makes the world. There's no real science behind it. There's no natural science. The scientists said there is a natural science, and based on our natural science, you know, there's a power of science, but not a God. So the power of science has always existed forever. Okay? To which the Rambam is going to say, you know what? I disagree with that. I believe science. I believe that there's a natural order of things, and God doesn't necessarily just mess it up at any time he wants. There's a scientific natural order. But the fact is, I will not concede to the fact that the world always existed. Why? Because the prophet said it didn't. And that's where the part of change exists. So maybe just for a second, we will take a look at this sheet.
We're inundating
you with sheets over here, but it's important. Okay. And really, there's a lot here, but just the first two lines is what's important. Give you a little bit of a flow chart, so to speak, and you'll be able to understand the difference over here. Look at where the foundations are and where they differ. Okay? So the Mutakalim, starting from left to right, they say the first thing is the world was created. That is from what? From their logic. Well, if you have that, then the foundation of their philosophy is there was a creation. That means there has to be a creator. That means there has to be a unity of the creator. That's the non-corporeality of the creator. Well, the Aristotelian said the concept of a deity, which means the universe has existed eternally and there's no point of creation. And now, instead of saying a creator, we say there's a mover that exists. A big bang or whatever. A mover that exists. And then it's not a creator, but there's a unity within that scientific world. And there's a non-corporeality to that scientific reality. They're not calling it a god. They're saying there's a reality that always exists and there's some power that moves it all. Okay? So, obviously, the Aristotelians say there's no God. There's no one who created the world. The Mutalkim say there's a God who created it, but they come to various non-scientific realities that really aren't true, and you'll see that it becomes absurd what's going to come from them. And what the Rambam is going to say, he basically agrees with the Aristotelians, but instead of using the word deity, and here's the main thing, he starts with a creator. What the Rambam is going to do is he's going to start by what? I'm not getting into the machlokes of creationism or not. I just want to prove that there's a creator. That's his first step. That's the first step. Now, nobody has that first step. The Mutalkim first step is creation is the first step, not the creator. Why? Because they feel that's logical. The world had to be created. The scientists say the world always was created. And that's the logical first step.
The world wasn't and created. Then, the world always existed.
I said, what did I say?
Created.
I'm sorry, the world always existed.
Right.
That's the deity.
Yeah.
Right? And then that now it takes on the force of a natural force. Mm-hmm. That's a deity that moves the world, that always exists. There's a unity of that deity. And the Rambam says, I'm not going to start with this. I'm going to start with proving that there's a God. That's where we part ways. And so, and then once I know there's a God, then I know there's a unity of the Creator. I know there's non-corporeality of Hashem. And then I could start saying next, because I have Torah to tell me that God created the world. And therefore, I don't have to get involved in any scientific issues. It's just, I know that there's Hashem. I can prove with what I see from the scientific realm. I can prove that there's a God. That's going to be the second half of the book. And he can do that because there's a Navi who says that. And once there's not, in other words, first he said there's a creator. I can prove that. The Torah, seems to say he's corporeal. He spends the whole first part of the book. You know, he's not a corporeal God.
He's not.
Now, the Mutalkim never proved that there's a creator by looking at the world and proving
that
there's a creator. They just started as a creation, and therefore there has to be a creator. But what did you see to determine that? Nothing. Rambam says, by looking at the world, I will prove to you there's a creator. Wow. And once there's a creator, then there's unity in creator, non-corporeality. Now you want to ask a new question? Did the creator create the world? Or did the world exist by itself?
The
now the Rambam just says, the Nevi'im said that God created the world.
Yeah.
Now, why do I have to rely on Nevi'im? Because logic can go either way.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when he talks about the uniformity of creation, there, although we know there's Nevi'im who say this, I don't need Nevi'im. Science already says it. Yeah. Science says there's a uniformity in creation. Logic says there's a creator. That's logical. And that logic is so solid, that's enough. Now, And if I want, I can also go to the fact that the Torah says there's a God. But he's saying you can do both. When you can do both, it's better to do both. The more you understand Hashem with your mind, the closer you can be to Hashem. If you just accept the fact that there is a God, but you don't know anything about the God, you can't be that close to the God. Rambam says, use your scientific abilities to prove that there is a God, and you'll understand God better. You'll get closer to Hashem. You'll have a bigger Olam Haba because you really understand as much as you can understand. I understand. Okay? Now, the fact is also, the Torah says that there's a God. And of course, that's great, but it's better to say, not only do I accept that, but I understand that. But when you come to creation of the world, there's no logic that's locked in either way. The Rambam says, I get two ways to look at it, and they both make a lot of sense. So now I default to saying, God said that. And the Navi said that. And since the Navi said that, that's the way it has to be. So that's how this little chart up. So let's continue back. We're still on page 324. Where did I get up to now? We got to Dalit, Beetle, Hatola, Shomatzia, Shembrina, Bria.
Yeah.
Okay. Now.
Were you going to do the note?
Yes. Now we're going to do note six, where he's saying that religionists, until the Rambam, said the world was created and didn't always exist. But that was just as religious dogma. Okay. Now, he says, so now, Seder, look at the footnote here. We'll just do this one, then we'll stop and continue from Dalad next week. Seder HaNosim, Bagosa Theologica Kalasis. What's the order of the logistical, topical points are? Kefish only from the Rambam is like this. Hochachas Metzias Hashem, proving that God exists. Hochachas Achduso, proving his unity. Hochachas Igashmuso, proving his non-corporeality. And then we get to subjects such as Nevuah, Hashkacha, Bechira Chavshis, etc., etc. Seder said, this was something that all the thinkers before the Rambam got involved with. Rav Sadji Gaon, in Amunas Tadeus, Rabbeinu Bechai Ibn Pekuda, Chovas Avodos, Rav Avram Ibn Duad, in the Sefer Amunas HaRamah, and others. Hachacha Yekiris, le Metzias HaBorei, HaTheological, HaGoyish, Shikar Makalam. What was the main proof to the existence of God from the Calamist theologians? Is the fact of creation. They say, if there is creation, there's a creator. It comes out that bottom point for all the religionists, he's a big is Bria, creation. It all starts from creation. And they're starting with something that is not provable, that the world was created. That is not provable in and of itself. This is a very questionable point. That's the main argument between the philosophers and religionists. Hatheological hagoyis, the goyish theologians, they dafka want to start from that point. Therefore, everything goes down from that point. If you are starting with a point that is not provable, that the world was created, and now, whatever that's going to cause you to do next, you're already starting on a weak foundation. Even if you're going to say there is a God, and you may say a lot of things, but you've now started with a weak foundation, and therefore all kinds of other problems are going to exist. Next paragraph, HaRambam Mishkala Kan Bechol Gadlus. Now the Rambam shows you his greatness. Hu Yishtachra Shichru Kofel. He separates himself in a double way, Min HaAgos HaKalatzis, from the Calamists. Race is number one. Who ichlit lochiach es mesechim. First is I'm going to prove there's a godly existence. Believe shtamish rambri. I don't want to get into creation. I don't want to talk about it. Sheni second seder hanoset the order he has in mer nebuchim mahava mahapecha biachas lomashim kol. It caused an upheaval from what was accepted by all the religionists up to this time. Ain hu maskel b'metzias Hashem. It doesn't start with the existence of Hashem. That's not where the Rambam started, even though that's going to be his first religious point. Let's chazer a little bit. the 70 chapters, very briefly. But what does he start with? He doesn't say, he says, I'm not going to start with saying God exists. There's a lot of prerequisites before I say that statement. What's the first part of the 76 chapters? This deals with the tools that man has in order to recognize the truth. And what do we know about man's recognition of truth? Reishis HaKadosh Adam, first is man's ability to recognize things, but Yicholotet's abilities, umagosar, and its limitations. We talked a lot about man is limited what he can understand. Vishani said, Hasaf Anoshis, the human language, Kikli Bilakar, it's a tool to express recognition. Alkol Magosar, with all its limitations, and they can't really are compatible with man's experience of life to what realities are. So he's showing, he's going first at the fallibility of man. So let's try to understand things. There's only so much we can know, and don't try to think you know a lot. What you know, you can try to work on. Then there's a criticism, then we get the criticism between the human understanding and human words. You can't really get anything unless you know that God is an other reality. And he's not a reality like our realities. So the whole concept of non-corporeality and non-attribution to God, that's what the first section is all about, Mor Devichim. He's dealing with, let's just try to understand our limitations, try to understand God as much as we can understand him, and from what human beings are able to understand about God, we will see later on in the second part of the Sefer, he's going to prove that God has to exist, which is all different than everybody else. And that's later in the second section, he's going to refute the Aristotelians. He says, no, there is no God. The world always exists, and the world is God. It's going to say, no. There's a God that's not the world that has always existed. That's the key point. In the second section, he deals with Metzias Hashem, Achduso, and Nevuah. So what was he doing in the whole first part? To show, guess what? Our language is not suitable. No. Any ideas of corporeality cannot be deduced from the Torah.
Right.
And now that I have explained to you the limitations of what we can understand, and now we're showing that it's not Torah versus science. Torah that seems to say God's corporeal. Science says not. So instead of saying, listen, science has to be wrong, because the Bible says God has a finger, as this and that. Rama says, if you can't reconcile the two, you have to find a way to reconcile them. You got to change some suppositions. And if you're going to insist that whenever it says something about God, it's literal, you're not going to have to make it conform with science. So when you say, science is wrong. Rama says, why should science be wrong if it makes a lot of sense and it's what I see? So what do we got to do? The Torah's not wrong either. But the Torah doesn't mean, the Torah is speaking allegorically.
There has to be some reconciliation here.
And that makes sense because we're going to prove that God is not corporeal. And we're going to prove that God exists. And if he exists, he can't be corporeal. And therefore he has to say there's other ways of explaining things. Right? And that's what the main thing is going to be. Okay, so we're going to continue at Dalid on Sunday. And hopefully we will finish this parak on Sunday.
Here's all my stuff.
Here's Dalid.
It's okay. Don't worry about the sheets. I'll make sure that by...
Here's Dalid.
That by the next week, you will be... Okay.
See you Monday?
Okay, going away for the weekend.
Just one day. Sunday in Detroit.
Ooh, the rock in Detroit.